Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be looking at the oppression of the poor by the rich, as we pick up in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now the next opposition comes from within. Judah said, "The strength of the bearer of the burdens is decayed. There's just so much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall." Discouragement from within. And then there were rumors that began to fly. They said, "Our adversaries said they're not going to know, neither see, till we come in among the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease." You know, these guys are going to sneak in and they're just going to destroy us. They're planning an attack, you know. And so they weren't sleeping well. They were weary. They were tired. Their strength was decayed. And so they just wanted to give up. "Now it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt outside of the city, when they would come, they came 10 different times and warned Nehemiah that, you know, these attacks are coming. They're getting ready for a surprise attack. And 10 times they brought this warning to Nehemiah. So Nehemiah said, "Therefore, I set in the lower places behind the walls and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows." So we just set these guys ready to fight. They were all armed. They had their swords, their spears, their bows. You know, should they come through, they'd be able to ambush them. "And I looked and I rose up and I said to the nobles and to the rulers, to the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Fear is a tool that Satan so often uses against the child of God. Discouragement and fear. How that has stopped so many from doing the work of God.'" And so Nehemiah says, "Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord." You know, that is always, always the cure for fear. The cause for fear is getting our eyes upon the enemy and the threats of the enemy, and that will cause fear, but the cure for fear is getting your eyes on the Lord. Hey, remember the Lord. You're forgetting something. Greater is he that is with us than he that is with them. Remember the Lord. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Remember the Lord. Remember that the Lord is with you. And when you come again into the consciousness that the Lord is with me, the Lord is on my side. As David said, "I will not fear what my enemies shall seek to do to me." The Lord is with you. We need to remember that. Remember the Lord. The Lord is on the throne. The Lord who is great and awesome. Now, you remember that the Lord is with you. Get your eyes on the Lord, but then you go out and fight. Fight for your brothers, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. Hey, this is, you know, this is life and death. Get out and fight for your families. But remember, the Lord is with you. And it's in his strength that we go forth against the enemy. In his name. "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their counsel to nothing, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work." And so that plan was of the enemy was thwarted and the work went on. "And it came to pass from that time forth that half of the servants would do the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, and they that bare the burdens with those that were laden, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand they held the weapon. So those that were handling the trowels, one hand, the other hand, their sword or their spear. And the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side as they worked. They were ready to fight. They were girded for the battle. And so they built. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We're separated here on the wall. We're pretty far from each other. So in whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all of you gather together there to us, and our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. I mean, these guys were working long hours from the time the sun came up in the morning until the stars appeared at night. They were out there working on the wall. And likewise, at the same time, said I to the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor during the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes except for the washing. I mean, they just really, day and night, were occupied in this task, and they just didn't take any time off, of course, except for Sabbath day, and then for the washing of their clothes. And then there arose a great cry of the people and of their wives against the brethren of their brethren, the Jews. Culturally, these people often wail. In fact, you remember they used to call it the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And when the women join with the wail, it becomes very shrill, very high-pitched. One of the interesting things to do in Jerusalem is to go to the Western Wall on the day that they are having their bar mitzvahs, which is usually Friday in the morning. And you see these little boys going through the bar mitzvah ceremony, and the ladies standing, they can't go into the men's court, but they stand at the fence, and then they let out these shrill kind of thing, and then they throw candy over the wall at the little boy, but it's fascinating. It's cultural and it's fascinating. But as you hear all of the wailing and or whatever, it gives you a little bit of insight into this complaint, the great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, and our houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. And there were also those that said, we have borrowed money for the king's taxes, and that upon our lands and our vineyards. And yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons, our daughters, to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already, and neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. So what had happened is that the people with large families, the poorer people, were being taken advantage of by the richer ones. They didn't have enough to buy the corn to feed their large families. And so what they were having to do is sell their children into slavery just to get by. And those who had the money were buying the slaves, and then they were giving mortgages on the property and charging super interest. So the people were in one of those traps where, you couldn't even make the interest payments. You owed more than what you borrowed, as the interest would build up. And so they got in a hole and there was no getting out. And so they came to Nehemiah with a complaint about how they were being oppressed by the rich people. They had sold everything they had. They had mortgaged their houses, their lands, and thus just to pay the taxes. And now taxes coming due. We don't have anything left. We don't have food for our families. And the rich were just getting richer. And they were taking advantage of the poor and living off the poor. And so greed, the greed of their own brethren, was threatening their very existence. They had sold some of their daughters already, and they didn't have the money to redeem them. And Nehemiah said, I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words. These rich people were actually in violation of the law of Moses. And so then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and I said unto them, you are exacting usury, every one of you from his brother. And I called, then he said, a great assembly against them. He gathered together all the people, got these guilty rich people there, the nobles and all, and he gathered together all the people. And he, addressing the nobles, said, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will you now sell your own brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Now, Nehemiah said, look, we have redeemed these fellows from their captivity to the Persians. We purchased them from their slavery to the Persians, to bring them back here to live. And now, will you take advantage of them? And will you take them as slaves? Also, I said, it is not good what you are doing. You ought to be walking in the fear of God, because the reproach of the heathen are enemies. And so he challenged them because they weren't obeying the commandment of God, for the law definitely forbid them to do this. I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, leave off this usury, this high interest on the money. He said, look, I have the authority. I could exact from them taxes, corn, and all. And then he went on one further. He said, I'm asking you to restore to them even this day all of their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money and of the corn and the wine and the oil which you are exacting of them. I ask you to return it to them now. Then they said, we will restore to them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as you say. And then I called the priest and I took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. I want you to swear to me you're going to do this. And it's interesting that the priests were the ones that were really guilty in this thing. Also, he said, I shook my lap. And I said, and so may God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all of the congregation said, amen, and they praised the Lord. I mean, they were happy over this edict. And suddenly they have their houses back, their vineyards back. Everything is, you know, returned to them. And of course, the greatly strengthened in their whole determine and resolve after this. And the people did according to the promise. It was fulfilled. Now, Nehemiah speaks then a little bit of his own personal example of unselfishness. He said, "From the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, at the 20th year, even until the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is for 12 years, I and my brothers." Now, Nehemiah had some brothers there with him, and these are personal blood type brothers, Hananiah being one, and Hananiah was with him, as we'll find out in chapter 7. "I and my brothers have not eaten the bread of the governor." In other words, we didn't live off the people. We provided for ourselves. "But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken from them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God." Now, Ezra was a former governor, Zerubbabel was a former governor, and they did receive from the people, but Nehemiah said, "Not me. I had the fear of God, and I didn't take from them." You remember when Paul the Apostle wrote his letter to the Corinthian church, he said, "And you know how that when I was with you, I labored working with my own hands to provide for the needs of myself and my group, lest I would be I didn't want to be chargeable to any of you. I provided for myself. I didn't take any offerings. I didn't take any money from you because I didn't want you to think that my purpose was to, you know, make merchandise of you, that I was doing it for a personal enrichment or gain. I could really admire and go for an evangelist who would come in and not ask anything for himself. My, what a refreshing change that would be. You know, so many times people put such heavy emphasis upon money, heavy emphasis upon giving, you know, and they just, the offering is one of the main things of the whole service. You know, they just really put the pressure on the people to pledge and to give and so forth. And Nehemiah said, "Hey, didn't take anything from you. Why? Because I feared God." Does that mean if an evangelist places a huge emphasis upon money and offerings and all that he doesn't fear God? I'll let you answer that. He said, "Yea, also, I continued in the work of this wall, and neither did I buy any land." I didn't try and take advantage of the poor person that was being foreclosed on and buy his land. "I didn't buy any land, and all of my servants were gathered thither unto the work." We were here, we were working, we worked, my servants all worked on the wall and all, and we didn't take advantage of anybody. We weren't here to enrich ourselves, we were here to give. "Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and the rulers." I mean, man, I was feeding the crowd. "Beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us." I mean, every day at his table, there was a big group of people would gather to eat. "So that for the daily provision was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me. And once in 10 days, store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all of this, required not I the bread of the governor, because of the bondage was heavy upon the people." The people, he felt sorry for them. He realized they didn't have anything, and thus he didn't exact things from them, but he was there just to freely give of himself for the people. Now, he puts in this little postscript to God. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Lord, don't forget, you know, what I've done here. Of course, we must remember that he was living at that time of the law and was seeking a righteousness through the works of the law, and he didn't understand the grace of God as we have come to know and understand it today, so living in a different era.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck continues his study of Nehemiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Nehemiah. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and strengthen you and bless you and keep you in all your ways as you walk in fellowship with Him. May your life be enriched in the fullness of that mercy and grace that He has extended towards us through Jesus our Lord. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. Strengthened by the Lord, may you abound in all things in Christ, to the glory and the praise and the honor of our God, our Savior and our Lord, in Jesus' name.
The Word for Today would like to invite you to come along on a revolutionary study of the Bible as we introduce Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary in an e-book format. Not only will you have Pastor Chuck's in-depth commentary, this ebook allows access to enhanced research studies by honored Christian scholars instantly. Features include Hebrew and Greek word definitions, as well as images of historical maps and places just by clicking or touching your screen, an online dictionary, plus highlighting, note-taking, and bookmarking. And everywhere Pastor Chuck shares what he learned or studied something, you now have access to those very same notes. To get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Now you don't have to imagine what it was like to be there. This is the next best thing. To find out how to download Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary to your electronic device, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to watch a video demonstration, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.